The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Has the Lord done you good? Has He made you glad? Are you glad to be here this morning? Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad He lives in you? Are you glad you have His life? Are you glad you are full of His life? Are you glad you have the love of God inside of you? Glory to God. I'm so glad. Now show me how glad you are in this place, sinners. Show me how glad you are in this place. Glory. Has made me glad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's day 8 of 30 days of light. Maybe you are wondering, how have people been coming here for the past 8 days? We are wondering how you've not been coming. We are confused. But if you just need to come 2 days, nobody will beg you again. The world is changing us. We are getting better and better and better and better and better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting better. Shout this, I'm getting better. So I'm getting better and better and better and better. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that in these days where people are begged to go to church, we are coming for 30 days. That's beautiful. That's a great reality. Amen. 30 days. And not for jamboree. For the word. Is he making you better? For the word. If this was 30 days praise quick with 30 popular artists, some would have loved to come. But it's 30 days on the word. Of light, and we are getting better and better. Today is going to be another amazing session. But then tomorrow will be better. You know, we just finished week 1. What will you title week 1? Is that where we started from? So, week 1, at my note, I titled it Living the God Life. That works, Abby. Living the God life. Today we are starting something else. Still in the God life. No, that's my topic. Today I'll begin to teach on life and immortality. Hallelujah. There are about 4 to 5 sessions. Amen. I hope we finish. I hope we finish in these 30 days. But if we don't finish, maybe 40 days of life. Glory to God. If we've done 30, why not 40? Then why not 45 days? Then 60 days. Maybe 100 days. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Say something to make your neighbor comfortable before you have your seat. Something to make the person feel comfortable to be in church. Welcome the person warmly this morning as you have your seat. It's the God life. So yesterday we concluded on living the God life. So we saw it was such an amazing week that we have to actually relive the experience from looking at how we got this life. How this life. Remember the day we talked about grafting. Remember that day? In grafting. How we got this life. That foundation I laid from day 1, day 2, day 3 will keep coming up in our teaching throughout these 30 days. They'll keep coming up. Amen. And it's a whole package God is giving us, because if you miss this, if you missed what we shared in this past week, then you might not really, you've not gotten the full package.
We must live the God life. There is a certain way, because God did not put his life in us for us to just live carelessly. So this I'm going to say today and beyond, if you've not been around, you might just have a few questions, but it's fine. Amen. We trust the spirit of revelation in this place. Amen. So he put his life in us so that we can live that life. And the simplest way we can define living that life is walking in love. Because when you are walking in love, you are living the life of God. Because the life that he put in us, you know, filled us with his love. He filled us with his love. And by that love, you know, one of that we saw last week is that the first manifestation of spiritual death is what? Hatred. Every place you see spiritual death, the first manifestation is hatred. In fact, when Jesus came to the earth, the first thing they gave him was hatred. And they killed him. That's how spiritual death manifests. Like I said, the point. And that's why the first expression of the life of God is love. That's the first expression. And one of the things you would have noticed, what we shared last week, is not what they teach out there, love your neighbor as love yourself. You can't do this love. If you had listened to me throughout last week, you know it's not possible. That's why towards the end of the teaching, questions began to come like, how can I? Because it's looking tough. It's looking tough. And it's beyond saying I love you and I don't love you. You begin to see that the whole fruit of the Spirit is that word love. And so when we are asking to walk in love, we are actually demanding that you live the entire Christian life. And yesterday we saw it is possible, right? Have you yielded to the Holy Ghost so far, since yesterday till now? Do you pay attention to that leading? He will always tell you what to do. Amen. So today we'll just continue on this teaching of the God life. This God life is a way, right? So 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. Let's continue on this journey. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. Let's start from verse maybe 9. Because this verse opened up with but. So it will not be good to open a reading with but. So it said, who has saved us, talking about Christ, and called us with our holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now manifest. So that's like that. Go back to that verse 9, right? That purpose and grace was given before the world began. But then when Jesus now came, that's verse 10 now, it was now made manifest when Jesus appeared. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had abolished death. We saw this last week, right? That Jesus dealt with spiritual death. He took spiritual death out of the way. So he abolished death. He abolished death. So when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with death. And that's not physical death only. He dealt with spiritual death. Do you follow? He dealt with spiritual death. I'm just refreshing your mind. He dealt with spiritual death and put it out of the way. So he has abolished death, but he didn't stop there. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is where we're going to stay for a few days. Life and immortality. The word life there in the Greek is that word zoe. That you know. That we've been looking at. Amen. The word and in that place is the Greek word kai, that's K-I. And I've showed you most times when this word K-I is used in the New Testament Greek, right? It means it's not always a conjunction. Sometimes it's an explanation. So when you see light and immortality, the way it will appear in the original Greek will be light, which is immortality. Or life, rather, which is immortality. So by using immortality, he's trying to describe to us the kind of life or the quality of life that Jesus brought to us. So life and immortality. Or life which is immortal. Are you following the point? So Jesus brought life and immortality,
or a life that is immortal. However you put it, you'll be correct. Now, the word immortality, because I just want to lay some foundation. Are you here? This is going to be a blessed session. The word immortality, there are actually two Greek words. You find immortality a few times in the New Testament, but there are two different Greek words used. I'm going to look at two of them. The first one is aftasia. The one I'm going to explain to you. You're not Greek, so it's okay. But I'm giving you the word for a reason. By the time we begin to explain, you'll know why we're giving these words. And by the time, in fact, by the time I explain this, you understand why it's good to visit the Greek language when you are studying Bible. Because the Greek language is the original language that the New Testament was written in. Because you're going to see immortality a few times in the Bible, but you will find out that not every, there are two different words used at different times. So there is aftasia, that's A-P-H, amen. A-P-H-T-H-A-R-S-I-A. A-P-H-T-H-A-R-S-I-A. I hope I'm correct with the spelling. But what's most important is the meaning. Yes. The meaning of that word is incorruptibility. Incorruption. Something that cannot be corrupted. A life that you cannot corrupt. That has no end. You can't, no matter what you do that life, it can never be corrupted. You find that word used in a few places. I'm going to just take you through. So that you just see, there are other places that word was used. Places like Romans 2 verse 7. Romans 2 and verse 7. It says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So it calls immortality eternal life. Right? That's the word aftasia. So it refers to immortality as eternal life. Explaining what I showed you in the previous verse, that when the Bible says life and immortality, it means life, which is... Okay. So in 1 Corinthians 15, that word was used too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in what? In corruption. That word incorruption is the word aftasia. That's immortal. It means something that cannot be corrupted. So you notice this word incorruption and the other word used as immortality in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10 is actually the same word in the Greek. Same word. So you can actually read this verse as it is sown in corruption, it is raised in immortality. You'll still be correct. Are you getting the point? You go down to verse 50 of the same chapter. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. That's the word aftasia. It's still immortality. You go to verse 53, just same thing, 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This verse is important in our study. Now, because that word incorruption, are you still here? That word incorruption used in verse 53 is the word aftasia. But that word immortality used is another Greek word we're going to look at very shortly. So we're going. So if you go to verse 54, you find the same word. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. The same thing. So incorruption is, so when you see immortal, it's not just, because some people understand as immortal is inability to die. But that's not exactly the only meaning. It means something that cannot be corrupted. If something is immortal, it means you cannot corrupt it. No matter what you do, you can't spoil it. It's incorruptible. Are you following me? Now, there's a second Greek word, which is athanasia. A-T-H-A-N-A-S-I-A. A-T-H-A. N-A-S-I-A. That is the word. It means deathlessness. Deathlessness. That is lacking the ability to die. Are you following me? Lacking the ability to die. And that's what many people understand as immortality. And it is immortality actually. Lacking the ability to die. You find that in a few places. For instance,
In 1 Corinthians 15:53, that word immortality there is athanasia. So Paul used these two words in the same sentence. He said, for this corruptible must put on, what's that word? Yeah, correct. Must put on aphthasia, and this mortal must put on. Do you see the two words? So they are used together. But two of them are used that way to explain to us what this immortality actually means. It's not just lacking the ability to die. It is, first of all, a kind of life that cannot be corrupted, that cannot be destroyed, that can never end. It means an incorruptible life, an indestructible life, and an unending life. An incorruptible life, an indestructible life, and an unending life. So when you go back to that place, started from 2 Corinthians 21 verse 10, it tells us that Jesus brought life, that is Zoe, and the kind of life he brought is immortal. In other words, the kind of life Jesus brought to us cannot be corrupted, cannot be destroyed, and cannot end. Are you following me this morning? No. It cannot be corrupted. An incorruptible life. A life that no matter what you do to it, it cannot spoil. Are you following me? A life that cannot be corrupted. Hallelujah. An immortal life. So it's not just a life that stays forever. It can't be spoiled. Actually, this is a very serious word. Because what I'm teaching now might look very common. But if a Jewish man was here, he would have been getting a bit uncomfortable. What I'm teaching. Because that's why the man that is not born again, the Jewish man that is not born again, cannot stand the preaching of the gospel. It turns them off. Because there are a lot of bold claims we make as Christians. I'll tell you why. This word immortal is a word that you use only for God. Because nobody is like that. Nobody cannot be corrupted. You know what it means that you cannot be corrupted? That no matter what I do to you, you can never be corrupted. No matter what you do, you always be right. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So if I get water and I tell you this water cannot be corrupted, what it means is that even if you add poison to the water, if you still drink it, nothing will happen. So it's something you use only for God. In 1 Timothy, or maybe 2 Timothy 1 verse 17, after verse 10, go to verse 17, same chapter. Glory to God. After he said that he brought life and immortality to light. Okay, 1 Timothy rather 1 verse 17, sorry. Not 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. It says, now unto the King eternal, immortal. So he calls God immortal. Are you getting the point? Invisible. We sing it all the time, Abby. Immortal. So when he says God is immortal, he's trying to say God cannot be corrupt. No matter what, God can never be corrupt. Is that true? Then God can never be destroyed. God can never end. God carries deathlessness. He carries an incorruptible nature. So if you go to 1 Timothy, if I, before we leave this place, give me Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. Let's just get everybody. Did you see that? Incorruptible, and that's what it means. It means God can never be corrupted. Are you following me? You can never corrupt him. The Passion Translation says, because of this, my praises to the King of all the universe, who is indestructible. So he uses the word indestructible. It's the same thing he's talking about.
So that's what it means to be immortal. To be immortal is to be indestructible, to be incorruptible, to be endless. And it's something that you can only give to God. Because come to think of it, nobody's like that. Are you following me? 1 Timothy 6 verse 16. 1 Timothy 6 verse 16. That one is even more interesting. It says, okay, if we start from verse 15, it says, which in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only had immortality. Only him has immortality. It's something that is exclusive to him. Are you following me this morning at all? Who only has immortality? So, with everything you know, we just read, Paul now said that God has brought to us life and immortality. That's a serious claim. That if you are not very sure, if you say that they should stone you to death, this is something that you ascribe to God only. Are you sure this morning? But he has brought us life and immortality. Let me tell you this, eh? Even angels are not immortal. Are you aware? Yes, I have to. I always like to say that because people almost, you know, there is this tendency to almost equate angels to God. And please don't do that. I just want to correct that. Some of you think, and with that equation, people also equate Satan to God. Some people think angels are omnipresent. That angels can be everywhere. Is that true? No, sir. Only God is omnipresent. Angels can only be one place at a time. Okay. Can Satan, like devil, be two places at the same time? So is devil inside his building now? No. Wherever Satan is now is where he is. In fact, many of you may never meet devil till you die. I'm just making it very easy for you. You are meeting some demons, but like devil himself, you may never see him till you die. What's he come to your house to do? Who are you? You know, people think devil is everywhere. Think about it. Is he everywhere? So have you met him? Now, I'm not saying you have not, but you possibly would have not. Because wherever he can only operate one place at a time. So if he's in Asia now, that's where he is. Not even the whole Asia. If he's inside one room, that's where he is now. If he has to leave that place, if he has to be elsewhere, he has to leave that place. That should reduce your fear. Say amen. And demons, a demon can be one place at a time. If he's here, he's here. If he's not here, he's not here. Now, what led me to that? Angels are not immortal. What we mean by that is, for instance, angels can be corrupted. Are you aware? So how do you know that? Satan was an angel. He was corrupted. So angels have the capacity to be corrupted. Are you following me? The fallen angels were once angels, but they got corrupted along the line. So angels can sin. That's what I'm saying. Because Satan sinned as an angel. Only God has that quality. Are you in church this morning? Angels can sin. In fact, if I'm going to take it a step further, I'll tell you, angels can be destroyed. They're not indestructible. This is about angels cannot die. Well, angels don't die naturally like humans, but they can be destroyed. God made them, he can destroy them. Romans 16 verse 20, Paul told them that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I get the point. Shaq. Bruce Satan. Sometimes you don't say it, crush under your feet. So Satan can be crushed. And he was once an angel. So angels are not indestructible. Angels are not infallible. Are you following me this morning? Angels are not deathless. Angels are not incorruptible. And I don't need to tell you that man is not. Is man incorruptible?
Are you incorruptible? Where did you guys keep your voice this morning? Everybody get on your feet, quick. Are you incorruptible? Okay, now. So keep standing. Are angels incorruptible?
No, sir.
Are you incorruptible?
No, sir.
But you love to stand.
No, sir.
Did you come here with your voice?
Yes, sir.
Now shout amen three times.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's have a seat. After we come to church, you come with your voice. So angels are not incorruptible. Man is not incorruptible. Man is not deathless. So man can die. Adam. So it tells you, Adam, and this is very important, Adam wasn't created as immortal. If he was created as immortal, what it means is that no matter what, whatever he would have done in the garden, he would have stayed imperfect. The reason he was able to sin was because he wasn't immortal. He wasn't incorruptible. The reason he was able to die. So Adam wasn't someone that was created as immortal and then lost his immortality. Immortality is indestructibleness. So if he was ever made as immortal, he wouldn't have ever died. He wouldn't have ever been corrupt. So you see, it's a very strong claim. So when we say God is immortal and incorruptible, you know what you're trying to say? That no matter what God does, he will still be right. He will still be pure. No matter what he does, he will still be holy. No matter what he does, he will still be righteous. So God can never be unholy. God can never be, even if you don't like whatever he has done, he can never be unholy. He can never be impure. He can never be corrupt. Angels can be. Angels have been. And we all saw that in the Bible. Man is. Plants either are not incorruptible and are not indestructible. So there is no being. So when Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God only is immortal, you know what he was saying. But the amazing thing is that that same Paul that said that God only is immortal came to 2 Timothy 1 verse 10 and said that when Jesus died, he brought to us life which is immortal. What is happening? That same ability of God to be immortal, that same life that is in God that makes him immortal, that is the same life he gave to the believer when he came into Christ. That's a bold claim. That's a very bold claim. What it means is that when this life is in you, no matter what the believer does, he can never be corrupt. That's bold. He can never... Are you guys following me this morning? So we've been given a kind of life that no matter what we do, that life can never spoil. Okay, let me bring it home. It means, so how do you believe what I'm saying so far? Do you believe so far? So if I'm carrying that life and I do something bad, what happens to that life? I mean, I'm carrying the life, immortal life, and I now lie. What happens to that life? It is immortal, it's incorruptible. Nothing can corrupt it. This sounds scandalous, don't you think so? We should be arrested. He brought light, life and immortality to light. So you find out, and let me drop this as I proceed. You find out that what God did for us in Christ Jesus is beyond where Adam was. People think, you know, there's this song that I was trying to correct some time ago. What's that song again? If I could control the times, I will go back to the Garden of Eden. What's that song? Kabiyesi Oluwa, I've gone to give you toilet. Give it. You know that song? And when I heard that, I said, no. If I could control the times, I would not go back to Garden of Eden. What God did with Adam is nothing close to what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Adam was not created with a life that was infallible. But we are looking at the Bible that God gave us immortality. He gave us a life that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be corrupted. And that's my life. Now, somebody's going to say, so are you saying that if a believer sins, that sin no longer counts for the believer? That's not what I'm saying. Look at what I'm saying. When you get born again, and this is where it gets interesting, when you get born again, there is, the man is a spirit, right? Man is a spirit. Man has a soul. Man lives in a body. So there is spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, where, and you say, I've received the life of God, which part of you receives the life of God? Your spirit, your soul, or your body? Which one? Your spirit. So it's your spirit that receives the life of God. Right? Now, your body doesn't have the life of God. This flesh. What we are saying is that no matter what this flesh does, it cannot corrupt your spirit. Because the life of God has made your spirit immortal. Are you following the point? The life of God has made your spirit immortal, incorruptible. So no matter what goes on in this body. Now, somebody is going to say, so are you saying we should start misbehaving? Well, if you've been here since last week, you wouldn't even ask that question. Because the whole of last week was corrections on Christian conduct, living right. Right? You must live right. You must live as God wants it, because that's the reason God gave you that life. But it's good you understand that this is true. That no matter what happens in your spirit, in your body, you have a spirit that is immortal, incorruptible, that nothing can spoil. Are you following me?
Yes.
You will see where this revelation will carry us to by the end of this week. Because we're going to connect this to many things. But before we get to Wednesday or Thursday, you'll begin to see why, or even from tomorrow, you begin to see why that from that spirit that is incorruptible, from that spirit that is immortal, it can feed your mind and feed your body, and you will never be sick in your life. But let's be going first. So, your spirit man, so no matter what happens in this body, it lacks the capacity, I'm not the one that said it all, it lacks the capacity to corrupt your, why? It is immortal. God gave us immortality. So in the body we are not immortal. Right? But our spirit man cannot be corrupted. So God gave us his life. See, in other words, even though we must live right, even though we must walk in love like we've taught, but refusing to walk in love cannot even corrupt your spirit. It can corrupt your body. It will mess with your mind. But it can never get to your spirit. Why? That life is immortal. It's incorruptible. Are you following me? I think I need to dwell on this matter a little more. Because it has not yet entered. It has not yet entered. Let me show you something. First Peter. Chapter 1. I was contemplating whether I would show this or not. First Peter 1 verse 23. Verse 23. Let's read together, everybody. Being born again. So stay there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of after. Do you remember that word? Aha. But of immortal. So he's telling that the seed that the believer was produced from is an incorruptible and immortal seed. Give me Amplified Classic. Let's read it together, everybody. Amplified Classic. Are you ready? Let's go. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal. So the seed that you came from is an immortal seed. The sperm that produced the believer is an immortal sperm. So when we say the believer is immortal, it is because the seed that produced, if I plant an immortal seed in the ground, the fruit it will produce will be an immortal fruit. So when I say the believer is immortal, that's a bold claim, but that is true. Because this fruit, this seed that produced him is actually the word of God. You know, we are born of the word. We are produced by the word. And the word is an immortal word. That's what produced us. Look at it again. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Give me the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I have the life of God in me. And that life of God is immortal. He changed everything. Let's read together, everybody. For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. So, the thing that produced you, the thing that was planted in the ground for you to come forth, was immortal. Let me even break that down a little more. Do you know why Jesus died and rose again? He's immortal. Indestructible. Yes. And the Bible said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, before it falls to the ground, it abideth alone. But when it falls into the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. Jesus is that corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. He just gave you agriculture. That if you have beans, follow this. If you have maize, corn, that corn, when you have it in your hand, it is just corn. It abideth alone. But when you plant it, it will come forth as plenty corns. Except the corn of it, which is Jesus. If he doesn't fall into the ground and die, he will remain the only Jesus. But when he falls into the ground and gets buried, he will bring forth many incorruptible, immortal beings. So, go back to 1 Peter. Are you following to this point? So, what is it you are produced with? By the word of God. In fact, James 1:18 tells us, of his own will begat he us by his word. So God's word is what brought you forth. God's word is what gave birth to you. God's word is what gave birth to me. And that word is immortal. That word cannot be destroyed. That word cannot be corrupted. That is the seed that produced me. So when he produced me, he produced an immortal, incorruptible, indestructible being. So when people say, that guy committed sin, and then he lost his salvation, we have to question that statement. Because saying he lost his salvation, you are saying that life that God put in him died. Are you following me? You are saying that life that he got as salvation was destroyed. You are saying that life has been corrupted. So it's no longer immortal. Are you following me? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, so go back to verse 24. He tells you the quality of all flesh. What is the character of all flesh? It's as grass. It will wither away. It falls away. It's mortal. It can die. It can be destroyed. That's how all flesh is. That's how all human beings are.
But, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that word that you received is an enduring, abiding, immortal word. That's what produced you. What is he saying? You are no longer like all flesh in verse 24. Something has happened to you. They are no longer like all flesh that will wither away, that will fall away, that will vanish away like every other person. That thing that happened is that the life of God is now working inside of you. Now, this is why. Now, follow this. This is why. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is why when we say we cannot lose salvation, a believer can never be unsaved. What we are actually saying is that a man that has received eternal life cannot suffer eternal death. Is that too hard to see? So when we say once you are in Christ Jesus, you are secure forever, it's because the kind of life you received is eternal. You can't lose it. You can't lose it. You can't lose it. So, there is nothing you will do to the spirit of a man that is born again for that spirit to be unsaved. What happened when you got born again is that that spirit received the very nature and character of God, came into it. It became an indestructible, uncorruptible or incorruptible spirit. So you can never be corrupted. Are you getting the point? Yes, so let me put it in a way that will bless you. What it means is that the whites that they wore you when you came into Christ can never dirty. So all that is, when you come before God, if your white is dirty, he will not accept you. That white can never dirty. If you're getting uncomfortable at this point, it's expected. You've received a life that cannot be messed up. Which is why it is not possible for a believer to go to hell. Because going to hell is dying eternal death. Going to hell is throwing that life he carries to hell. And that's eternal death. And that life cannot die. When we receive eternal life, it is proof that we can never lose it. If not, the word eternal will not be attached to it. I think it's simple English, right? If we could lose it, then it cannot be called eternal life. If we could lose it, it cannot be called immortal life. But glory to God, it's immortal. We can't lose it. So when you read the Bible, you see the assurance that Jesus speaks with. When he tells you to come into him, he promises you doubly that you cannot, that when you come into him, you can never lose him. Let me show you some scriptures. Popular scriptures, favorite for me. Right? John 6 verse 36 with New Living Translation. Favorite. I've used this scripture to harass many people. Because it gets so clear that you cannot fight it. Are you ready? Yes, sir. So read together so that it will be you that read it for yourself. Let's go. You haven't believed in me. Even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me and stay here. So can we read this verse as those who have received eternal life? I will never reject them. They will never lose it. Let's continue. If you still doubt it, it's fine. Verse 38. Let's go together. To do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me. So, is there anybody that God has given just that can never be lost? Look at that verse, look at that verse, look at that verse. How many will be lost? Read it again. No, this is not your bed. Just look at it by yourself. How many will be lost? I should not lose even one. So no man that has received eternal life can go to hell.
But I should raise up at last the verse 40 in case you didn't hear it well. Verse 40. Let's go together. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's as simple as that. Once you receive that eternal life, you cannot suffer spiritual eternal death. Because that eternal life cannot be destroyed. It cannot die. So it's like a one chance boss. If you enter, you have entered. Hello. Can God ever lose his life? But is that his life that he gave us? Are you getting the point? Okay. John 10, verse 26. You know why I like using this John scriptures? Because it is Jesus himself saying it. Because if it is me, if it is Paul, he says, that's Paul. This one is Jesus. So even if you hate Paul, you can't hate him. No, I've heard a preacher that say he hates Paul. That Paul is the reason why. I say, whoa. You guys are forced with everybody on earth and are fighting with people in the Bible. You guys are not serious. Let's go together. You don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and read it again. They will never perish. He's saying, I give them eternal life. They have become immortal. Is it very clear? They have become indestructible. They have become incorruptible. He said, no one can snatch them away from me. So, Jesus is saying, once you come into him, it is now on him to make sure they are not snatched away. Just like when I give you a little baby to take care of, the little baby will not even mind. It is on you to make sure that nothing happens to that baby. See the next verse. Verse 29. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. So it's a life that you cannot lose. Immortal. So, in other words, what is happening in this body cannot corrupt that life on the inside. You cannot do to a point and God will say, I'm done with you. He has done something that he cannot reverse. Oh, I think I'm preaching to only myself this morning. He has done something that even him, he has done something that is, the risk is making us immortal. But he took it. Because he wants to make sure that he doesn't lose you. Glory to God.
Glory.
Romans 8:35. Let's now see Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded, friends? That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor demon kintukunda, or demon kandakunda, or marine kingdom, or marine devils, or demons sent from the pit of hell, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can change this thing. The devil should become twins and triplets. He cannot take you from God's hand. You've gotten a life that is indestructible. A life that is immortal. You see what I was saying last Sunday? I don't like all those movies where they say they send someone from the kingdom of darkness to go and bring a believer down. They should send. No.
The devil knows better not to send such people to us now. We will get you born again. We will get you born again. You will become a believer. And it will be so easy. Because you will fail. Why you will fail is not because you are too strong. You are going on an impossible mission. It's not bragging. Immortal means cannot be destroyed. Cannot be corrupt. So what do you want to achieve with immortal? What do you want to do to immortal? If you understand, so it's just like they're sending demons to go tempt God to sin. So that he will be corrupted. How can that even happen? The only difference is that this life is in our spirit and we are in the body. So in the body, there could be one or two mistakes. But it doesn't affect that life in the spirit. Have your seat, too, because it's about to get interesting now. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can destroy that life in us. You know this thing I'm teaching? I can teach on this thing all year. I love it. It's a liberating truth that you can live your life every day not scared of whether you go to hell next minute or not. I stopped being afraid of that a long time ago. So I say, rapture is coming. You see, Jesus. I don't know why we come here and we preach rapture and people are crying. I love rapture. I look forward to rapture. I thought they said rapture is coming when? Is it this month or next month? So anytime, you know why I don't participate in that kind of news? Anytime it comes, we day, we full ground. Yes, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. He's not even bragging. It's been very long. It's been over a decade. I never thought of rapture and I got scared. Who would you tell that your father is coming back and you get scared? Our father is coming to pick us, so and we are scared. So what if you don't make it? Make what? Ever. Amen. Do you want to pray to make Nigeria? You want to pray to make Nigeria?
No, sir.
Okay, you don't like Nigeria.
Yes, sir.
You don't need to pray to make Nigeria. Because you're a Nigerian citizen.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says we are citizens of heaven. So we don't pray to make your village. This is our home.
Have your seat.
I want to say, you don't pray to make Nigeria. Nobody prays to make Nigeria. Even if you are not in Nigeria now, you can't pray to make this country. Because prayer or not prayer, you are already Nigerian. You can't do anything about it. It's an irreversible thing. You can go and get an extra citizenship. But this one day, you are Nigerian. Come to terms with it. This is our home. Say amen. But that's a fact in Christ. We are citizens of heaven. Look at that. Everybody read together. We are what? We are citizens of heaven. Where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We are eagerly waiting for him to return. We are not fearfully waiting. We are eagerly waiting for him. Because we cannot be lost. We've carried a life that cannot be destroyed. The last time eternal life went to hell, he conquered hell. Came out with captives from hell. If eternal life goes to hell again, you know when last eternal life went to hell? Jesus died and he descended into hell. He led captivity captive. He came out. If eternal life goes there again, the same thing will happen. Carry the life of God. So Jesus went to hell, nothing could happen to him. Whether you think hell is fire or water, he didn't burn him. He didn't drown him. Whatever you call hell, whether hellfire or hell water, he didn't burn him, he didn't drown him. He went there, he came out. Yes. I'm born of God. Yes, 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 yes. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Because that's actually a point I'm trying to make. But I want to lay this foundation before I make the point I want to make. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were, come on, you were sealed with what? You were sealed. We are sealed. So that is a seal. Verse 14. I'm coming back to this. We're going to do the NLT very soon. Which is the earnest of my inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Go to verse 13, because the reason people argue is because you really don't understand King James English. So let's use NLT. Let's go together, everybody. Watch this. And now, you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. Okay? The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we'll praise. So there is a guarantee. There is a seal on us. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1. No, sorry, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5 is the brother that had his father's wife. Let's use NLT because of our time. Let's go together. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's go together. We know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down. What is the earthly tent? That is when we die and leave this earthly body. So the Bible refers to your body as a tent. So that's why I say this body is not you. It's just the house you live in. I get to the point. This body is your house. You are inside. Is it making sense to you now? Yes, sir. People say, this is my body. No, this is not your body. This is not you. This earthly tent we live in is taken down. That is when we die and leave this earthly body. We will have a house in heaven. Now, stop. Before you start singing, what is that house we have in heaven? We'll find out. What is that house? An eternal body made for us by God himself. So the house you live in heaven is a body. Says, what of our mansion? You know, how one verse in the Bible can make people, without even studying it well. There's only one place in the Bible where the Bible says that in my father's house, there are many mansions. People have made doctrines out of that. Well, if you believe that, it's fine. Mansion or no mansion is your house. Look at it. An eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human. But see where I'm going to. Verse 2. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of this body that clothes us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Verse 5 is where I'm going to actually. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his holy. So that is God, when he prepared you, he put a guarantee that I swear. So the Holy Ghost is the oath that God has taken. So when he put his spirit in you, it is a guarantee that, hey, I swear to you, I will definitely give you this body. Glory to God. I have the life of God in me.
So this cannot be destroyed. Have your seat again. Have your seat again. So we are saved forever. So is one saved always saved? Yes. Is one saved forever saved? Yes. Because when you get saved, you receive an immortal life. So can immortal be mortal? No. Can eternal be temporary? No. So what are you talking about? I know you have your questions. If you have them, ask them. I will answer them. I said to my male, but if you see this fact, you can't doubt it. It is the crux of our gospel. It's the crux of what we believe. If not, there are no guarantees. You know, think about it. If all of us are here in church and we're not even sure that we're going to heaven. Have you thought about that? So, we are not sure. The pastor preaching is not sure. Remember, sir, nobody is sure. So we are all hoping that somehow we make it. If we are hoping that somehow we make it, why is it that when believers now die, we say we know they are in heaven? It means we don't even know who is in heaven and who is not. That cannot be what Jesus brought for us. He wants you to know. And in case you think, oh sir, this thing will make people become irresponsible, it doesn't make anybody responsible. It doesn't. Knowing that your father loves you doesn't make you responsible. If you know it well, it will make you responsible. We are saved. See, it will make people become unserious. Do I look unserious to you? Do I look unserious? I'm a very serious person. I'm more serious than the preachers you admire that preach all the fire and brimstone. I'm more serious than them. I have stricter values than most preachers that you admire that preach fire and brimstone. And that's not bragging. That is just our church. If you come around, you will know. That's the way you can behave inside this place. We will stop you. I get to the point. When you see how strict we are in our values, you will doubt whether we believe in eternal salvation. No, we do believe. Just that we know it's not an invitation to misbehave. Yes, we have strict values here. If you dress in certain ways, yeah, we will stop you. If you talk in certain ways, we will stop you. There are many things you can't do here. Right? It's not a frivolous place. But it doesn't change the fact that we know what we know. Are you following the point? We know what we know. How many churches in this country do you go to and they say you want to get married? They subject you to 3 months prayers. We do it here. So we are not frivolous. Are you what I'm saying? We are not loose. We are not loose. We are not. But we know what we know. We know what we know. We know what we know. I was reading about Kenneth Hagin and his ministry. Kenneth Hagin's ministry, as a law, is even like that. As a law in their ministry, as a man, you cannot walk and hold hands with a woman that is not your wife. You dare not. With everything they know. In fact, in Pastor Joseph Prince's ministry, who they've tagged devil, someone said Joseph Prince doesn't have a ministry, doesn't have a message, because he's preaching eternal salvation. In that ministry, a guy cannot counsel a lady. As in, guys don't counsel, you can't do that. They have such strict values. Are you getting the point? Like, you can't counsel. See, there's no invitation to misbehave. But we know what we know. In fact, this knowledge makes us to serve God happily. Is that how we serve God happily? I'm not afraid that what if after all this I do for God now, I will now die and go to hell. Satan would have gained a lot. Think about that. He would have gained a lot. And if salvation is that frivolous, if I cannot be sure, trust me, I will not be doing what I'm doing. I'm a very smart person. I like being sure. You know, after all these things, then I'll go to hell. It's not possible. Not because I've worked hard for God, but I've received the life of God. So, can you calm down? Yes, do. Serve God well. Pray. Do ministry. Knowing that He has given you something that cannot be lost. It cannot be lost. I'm eternally saved.
And I wear the badge. There's all you eternal salvation preachers. I say, guilty as charged. Once saved, always saved. You know, they used to call us, those days on Facebook, they used to call, say that these osas people. You know what osas means? Once saved, always saved. I said, then I'm osas. And I told one of them, I said, if you are actually saved, you are also osas. You are not just aware. When you get to heaven, you find out that you've been osas all the while. He said, well, I said, because if it was by your works, so what is your guarantee that you said we go to heaven? He said, I'm trying my best. I said, what is your guarantee? And I used to ask a very crazy question those days. What if this is me now, good believer, or the unserious believer? This is John. John is the good believer. Me, I'm the unserious one. Do you understand? John goes to church. John pays his tithe. John prays a lot. John is serious. John not the lukewoman. Do you understand? John is just serious. This is me. I am who I am. I just do my thing. Then, when John was about to die, 3 seconds before he died, he told a lie. Before he could confess the lie, he died. So John will go to hell. This is me. Living freely. 1 second before I died, I say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me all my sins. I'll go to heaven. How sweet does that sound? Very uncertain thing we are believing in. So it means we are not sure of anything. You might be there. It may be you. So we don't know who we go to heaven or who we go to hell. But glory to God, we know. The man who has believed in Jesus has received his life. We know. This life is working in me. Obviously. I asked a religious guy this question. How can we be sure? He said it's by the grace of God. I said that's the same thing we are saying. That's the same thing both of us are saying. Because the grace of God has appeared to all men. And we are saved by grace through faith. So I told him, I said, how you accept that grace of God is through faith. I said, have you come by faith? He said, yes. I said that you've received grace. So it's by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So there's an immortal life we carry. Now, this is why, and I'm going to close with this. Even when this body dies, if I let me say this. This is why, let me say it another way. We cannot die. Write it and think. Because it's an immortal life. So even when this body stops breathing and is buried, the Bible does not still refer to it as death. The Bible refers to it as sleep. And I'm going to show you why. John 11 verse 11. Jesus said, I'll show you a few scriptures on that. John 11 verse 11. Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Lazarus was dead. Jesus said he's sleeping. Acts 7 verse 60. Acts 7 verse 60. Bible said, and he kneeled down. This is after they stoned Stephen. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, let not this into their charge. And when he had said this, what did he do? He fell asleep. Oh God. There's a reason the Bible talks that way. Because the man that has received an immortal life cannot die. Follow this. He fell asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. Verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Verse 18. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So he's still referring to believers as not dying, but sleeping.
1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13 is a consistent language of scripture. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Why are you calling it sleep? So people like say, the Bible is just play. Why do you just, God just call it death, direct? There's a reason. Because he that is dead cannot wake up. He that is sleeping will wake up. That's why even when this body packs up, there is hope. Because when the trumpet shall sound, we shall wake. Continue. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You're going to see why. Very soon. That's why I'm going to close. Continue. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So he called them the dead in Christ. Because these guys are actually dead. I get the point. But it's right to let you see that they are actually sleeping. Continue. For the Lord, okay, verse, next verse. Then we which are alive and are and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. Verse 18. He says, wherefore comfort one another with this word. So he tells them, even when a believer sleeps, he shall wake. Let me tell you why it is called sleep. When you sleep, you know, sleep is like death. If someone is sleeping and someone is dead, they're just lying side by side. If you don't come close and begin to check the pulse and all of that, they all appear the same way. The difference is that there is life in this one, but there is no life in this one. So when you blow trumpets around the dead will remain dead. If you blow trumpets around the sleeping will wake up. Because there is life in him. So the believer in Christ can never die. He might sleep for a season. He might sleep for 5 years. He might sleep for 100 years. Some have been sleeping for 1,000 years. But the time is coming. Do you know what that tells you? That even when a believer closes his eyes, that his spirit is still immortal. Listen to this. So how will the believer get up? How will he get up? Romans 8 verse 11. How will the believer get up when he's sleeping? Romans 8 verse 11. For the scriptures, verse 11, not 10. 8 verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That life, that spirit, that immortality that is in him is what will wake him up at the end of the day. So listen, what wakes up the believer will not come from outside. It is from what is inside of him. Why? Because he's an immortal being. Let me tell you another thing that happens. So nobody here is going to die. Are you aware? So even if you have a friend that has died and the person died in the Lord, he's sleeping. And this is not fairy tale. This is not tales by moonlight. The proof that this will happen is because Jesus rose. When he died or slept and rose, it's a proof that when we sleep, we will rise. What is it that rose Jesus from the dead? If the spirit of him that raised, so it is the spirit that rose up Jesus. That's the spirit what you are carrying. When the time comes, that same spirit, resident in your spirit man, will wake you. So who and who will make rapture? As many as have that spirit in them. As many as have that immortal life in them. When they die, they will get up. Now, hear this again. Why is it that this body can die or sleep, as we call it? Why? Because it's not immortal. It's not. The mind is not immortal. But even when, remember I said that mortal life cannot be corrupted. That immortal life cannot be corrupted. So even when this body dies, and the mind backs up, and the heart stops working, and the brain, everything dies, that immortal life is still alive. When the time now comes, when that trumpet sounds, hear what is going to happen. That immortal life on the outside, on the inside, will now supply life to the mind, the brain, the body, everything. So even if a person has been decayed in the grave for 1,000 years, that life will supply strength and the person will come back new. I'm going to be a full human being again. So that's why when we read earlier, the Bible said we shall not be spirits without bodies. It's not like our spirits will come. No, no. This, you know, it is this same body that you are carrying. You will still look like this in heaven. Just that the only difference is, watch the difference. Currently, the life of God is your spirit. It's not actually affecting your body as it should. When the time comes, it will now come from your spirit and take over your body fully. So your body will now be as immortal as your spirit. So you will now have a new body that can never die. So when we say we will live forever, what it means is that our body will now receive the ability in our spirit. Are you guys following me this morning at all? Our body will now receive the ability that has been in our spirit all the while. So our body and our spirit will now be able to stay immortal and not die. So the believer can look at himself and say, I'm an immortal being now. It's still a reality in our spirit which can never be lost. Even when we lie down and die and get buried, it's a matter of time. When that time comes, did you not read Ezekiel 37? Son of man, can these bones live again? You see what happened in Ezekiel 37 will happen to every believer. In Ezekiel 37, the bones were dried and scattered. There are people in the grave now who have been decaying for ages, but they were born again. So in those, their bones and all those things, the life of God is still in their spirit. When the time comes, the same way the word of God came forth, and by the word of Ezekiel, all the bones came together and formed a human being. That life is going to impact, and his bones, his flesh, everything will come back. And he will be alive again. So we are immortal men. Do you understand? So this guy is immortal. This guy cannot be corrupted. This guy cannot die. He cannot be destroyed. Sin cannot corrupt him. The devil cannot end him. Even when the devil does his worst, I mean, when a believer gets careless, and the devil penetrates and does his worst and takes his life and begins to celebrate, is a matter of time. His joy will be cut short. Because time is coming at you soon. The dead in Christ shall rise. So this life can never end. This life can never be corrupt. Never. So you notice it's the exact life that God has that he gave us. Exact. So think of people that have died in Christ like 1,000 years ago. Think of Bishop Polycarp. Think of Paul. All of them are in there. When that time comes, Paul has been dead for thousands of years. You don't get a point. Once again, what is it that will wake the believers from the dead? Their spirit, the spirit of God in them. See, it means the life of God is still working in Paul. For years after Paul has died, it is that life that will wake him up. It's an eternal life. Immortal life. Incorruptible. Indestructible. No matter how long it stays, it is still intact. You can't corrupt it. Let me show you the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51. verse 51. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, from verse 50 or so. Let's use NLT. Thank you, Lord. Are you there? Let's go together, everybody. Is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit also. So these dying bodies, these mortal bodies, these perishable bodies, right? Verse 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living. So if I'm alive when the trumpet sounds, what happens to me? That life inside will now transform this entire body. And make it as immortal as it is on the inside. Are you here this morning? For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. What will transform is the immortal life we are carrying on the inside. Now, verse 54. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Are you glad to be born again? So we are immortal men. So we are making some bold claims. So we've received the exact quality that the life of God has. Indestructible. Incorruptible. Nothing can change. So as we start the second phase of this teaching, is there anybody here that is afraid of going to hell? So think of what will happen if we are in church now and the rapture takes place now. Who will be left behind here? None. None. So left behind is not a Christian film. I said it. Yes. It's not Christian ideology. People that have been left behind are people that are not saved. But for a believer to, for you to say, when transfer sounds, some believers will be left behind, I'll be crying, oh, I didn't make it. I've acted that movie, or the play. We did play. In that play, I made it in the play. I didn't even make it. I didn't make it. I was the pastor. In the play that we acted, we are running the heavenly race. We are standing long on a queue and we're all moving. And then there were people along the line carrying placards to distract us. One was carrying immorality. That one was carrying greed. The other one was cool. So people will now get along the line and pick greed and fall out of the faith. So I was a pastor encouraging them. And it was only remaining two of us. And Jesus was standing somewhere waiting to receive us. Ah, and I now picked. What do you think I picked? It's not possible. And now, people now, if you see that drama, the whole church started crying. They were crying. Me, I was crying. Because the actor and the actee, nobody was sure. It was a night, a mess of a night. But we're happy. We felt the Holy Ghost moved. Probably that after they cried that night, the next day I saw all of them. Nothing changed about them. But thank God for salvation. Thank God for the life of God.
So nobody here is going to be left behind. Nobody here is going to fall out of faith. So are you so sure? I'm very, very sure. Why are you sure? I'm counting on the integrity of God. Jude verse 24, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So he can keep you from falling. And how has he kept from falling? He gave you a life that cannot be destroyed. So can you stop worrying your head and begin to serve God? Begin to love God. Throw yourself into a walk with him. Can't this how we are doing? Pulling out for him. Not out of fear. Not because if we don't do it now, he will take away our life. But because we know that he has loved us. He has put his life in us. I'm born again. Born of an incorruptible seed. An immortal seed. I'm an immortal being. Do you want to say that this morning? Will you say it with confidence?
Yes, sir.
Say, I'm immortal.
I'm immortal.
And if you put this, they will fight you. Say it again.
I'm immortal.
Shout it.
I'm immortal.
I was listening to Pastor Chris one day, and he said, it's been over how many years when I last said I'm a human being? He said, you will never hear that from me because I'm not a human being. And it's been a very long time since I said I'm a human being. There's nothing human about us. There's nothing moral about us. What applies to humans does not apply to us. This thing is going to be a blessing. But I will show you how this immortality can diffuse into every part of your being. In this week, you understand why. You understand why a believer can live for 150 years if he wants to. Yes. Because one of the things immortality does to your physical body is that it places you in charge of death and life. Go look at that within the week. But you see, the first thing he did is to make sure that we can never lose that. We can never go to hell. God can never be away from us. And we can never be away from him. We are saved. It cannot be lost. Are you born again? Are you born again now? How many of you are looking forward to the rapture? Because I am. With everything in me, I am. The joy will be palpable. The joy will be, we will love it. We will dance. We will celebrate. Now the first thing rapture is going to be, it's going to be a reunion service. Are you thinking about this already now? You're going to meet all your old friends, all your that passed in the Lord. It's going to be a reunion service. So how are you doing? It's so good to see you. Glory to God. There's going to be a service. We're going to meet a lot of people that we've never met before. You say, Paul. Peter. Glory to God. There is no fear here. No fear. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17, it says that on the day of judgment, we'll have boldness. Let me look at it. Verse 17, not 14. 1 John 4:17. Hearing is our Lord made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why are you going to have boldness? Because as he is, because we have his life, because we have his nature, on the day of judgment, we have what? Boldness. So I'm not coming to judgment saying, I'm not sure they will accept me. I know I'm accepted in the beloved. The God who accepted me here will not reject me there. I'm accepted. I have the life of God. Shout it, I have the life of God. So Henry is immortal. I say Henry is immortal.
like saying Henry is immortal. I say Henry is immortal. Until it enters you. Henry is immortal. I'm immortal. I'm immortal. The life I have cannot be corrupted. The life I have cannot die. And when I eventually sleep, in a good old age, when the trumpet shall sound, I'll be back. Because I never left. That's why the Bible does not refer to saints that have died as though they are actually dead. If you read Hebrews 11, by the time you read the whole of Hebrews 11 from verse 1, mentioning all the saints, in chapter 12, Paul, which I believe wrote Hebrews anyway, if you don't believe it, it's your business, he now says, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud, so he refers to these saints that have died as witnesses. So it doesn't refer to them as though they are no longer existing. Because we never die. Are you blessed this morning? Lift your hands. Let's thank God for salvation in this place. Thank Him for the life you've received in Him. Thank Him. Your voice lifted high. Come on, it's a place to stay grateful. It's a time to stay grateful to say thank you, Lord Jesus. What a life. If you got it this morning, you'll be grateful to God. Even if you've never been born again before, but you heard what we taught this morning, and you opened your heart to it, Jesus has come into your heart. This is pure gospel we just heard this morning. That when you believe in Him, you become changed. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a salvation. Do two times. Everlasting. voice, please. Come on. Again. It's a big flex to be born again.
Yes,
I tell you, I wear it with pride. I like how some of you introduce yourself on social media, and I love it. Sometimes I see your social media handle and you write, I'm a believer. Own it. Imagine this, I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. Before I mean any other thing, I'm a, it's something to be, to, do you know what we have? Have you been listening to me from day one at all? Do you know what we have? The life of God, the Spirit of God, an immortal life. We don't hide it. When you're in the right table among your friends, say, you do church. Say, yes, I do church. No, I know they only do church. I am a believer in Christ Jesus. I am born again. Own it with pride. When we die, God, but I've never been ashamed of it. I tell everybody. Remember when they were trying to convince me to join one cult? I wanted to join before I got born again. And when I got born again, I said, I'm not doing it again. So the message, the girl was like, Mama, now, what did you do now? See me now, I don't blame. And I loved that moment. And I just took him by the side. I called him by his name. I said, I am now a born again Christian. The guy laughed. He said, my guy, London pastor. I said, for real? I'm now a born again Christian. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. And I own it with pride. I've never been ashamed of it. I know what I received. It might be free, but it's not cheap.
It's just free because somebody paid for it. Not all free things are cheap. Salvation is not cheap. Oh. It costed God his own life. Everything had to pause. God had to become man. It's not cheap. So I know what I received. But I know the human race, there's something about us that we don't take cheap things, free things seriously. But I know the value of this thing. iPhone 17 is out. Abby? It's not cheap. So the fact that somebody buys it for you and gives it to you does not make it cheap. You got it for free, but it's still not cheap. Someone gets you a Lamborghini and gives you for free. It came to you for free, but it's not cheap. This salvation, we got it for free, but it's not cheap. So I wear it with pride. I'm a born again Christian and I'm a made church. Yes. I love that a guy is trying to ask you that, it's like a church person. Tell them, yes! You picked it late. I'm a church person. Through and through. Through and through. So you're a church person? Yes. So I don't like church people. Then, so I don't like all the church people. Sorry. What's that song again? Satan, the number you are calling is not available. Hey, I don't like church people. My number is not going through. This is me. There is no other life outside this. If I'm a doctor, it is secondary to this. If I'm a businessman, it is secondary to this. Yes. Everything I am is secondary to this. The real deal is I'm born again. I have the life of God in me. And if you give me a little more time, I will explain further what I mean by I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a believer. You want to know what that means? I just need 5 minutes. I will school you. This life. Oh, this life. It cannot be changed. Nothing can change it. That Christianity is sweet. Thank God again one more time.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.